Blog
Good evening,
Talk
ladies
Radio.
And gentlemen. Got caught again. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. Before we get this show started, I said we were going to have a thing about some ladies tonight. I was going to reverse the script, but I don't see we don't have any ladies on here yet, but hopefully they'll come in. And we'll talk about some issues that they want to talk about us fellows, men. And before we get into our discussion, I'm going to take you to our brother, Satavi Jahi, who's a true soldier, who's a comrade, a good friend, and a patriot, man, because this brother's a true soldier. And he always has something good to share with us. And so, Brother Satawi, you got it, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, David. And our topic tonight is about our queens, our women. And we're going to get into that, discuss a little bit after our reading. And as we do every week when we come on here, we open up with a reading from Daily Motivations for African-American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who is also the author of Think and Grow Rich of Black Choice, which is a blueprint for eliminating poverty in our families. So the reading for the day goes like this. March 28th, the People's Court. The most effective recourse is the quality of your performance. Your energy should be directed to doing the best possible job you can do. Clinton Wharton Jr., Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of State. Reading goes like this. We should judge ourselves by what we feel capable of doing, not by what we have done. And else will motivate you to greatness so much as a belief in your own inherent potential. There's potency inside of you that will transform your dreams into realities if you tap into them. You be the judge. You should not be afraid to think too highly of yourself. The Creator made you and is not ashamed of the job he did. He pronounces good work and you should respect it. Persistently hold the thought that you are progressing towards something higher and greater. The constant struggle to measure up to such a worthy ideal is the only force in heaven or on earth that can make a life great. Your self-image depends on your ideal of yourself, the mental picture of the person that you are, the you that you are meant to be. It is you who will define your own greatness. No one can stop your date with destiny. No one can cast your fate. You are the judge and the jury. The vision that grasps your heart, the longer of your soul to do something significant, the dream of high achievement that occupies your imagination, not mere fantasy. It is prophecy, the great things you will do if you believe in your own potential. I will never sell myself short. I will never underestimate my own ability. And it's important that we do that. We don't underestimate our ability, like doing these taxes. People ask me, well, how did you get into doing taxes? I read up on it, and I knew I could do it. And hey, I've been doing it now for like almost over 20 years. So then I have a pretty good clientele that comes back and forth to me each year. And tax website is www.thetaxhelper.weebly.com. You can go to that site. You can find out how to get in touch with me. Also, my phone number is 252-458-3712. Or you can give me a call. Or you can text me. I'd be more than happy to help you take advantage of the tax breaks that I know about and help you be able to get more back for less money. So give me a call or shoot me a, go to the website. And when you go to the website, put on there new contact information. And I'll get back to you and see if we can do some business together. All right. Thank you. Back to you, David.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that, sir. Always a pleasure to hear from you. And we have a very small tonight, but nevertheless, when two or three are gathered, the show goes on. I know somebody was expecting something else, but that's my ad living. But we do have a young lady on with us tonight, Cheryl Ricks. So I had somebody to kind of pick on. So, you know, but
what
Cheryl,
are you picking on me about tonight, Brother David?
Oh, well, it's going to be a good one this time. And but let me just say this before I get started in our conversation is this. First, you know, because this is a, this podcast is possible because of the National Black Unity News. And we're in the process right now of bringing out our next issue. And it's been a great journey, met some great and wonderful people along the way, and planning on meeting even more people as we go forward. And but I, you know, I just listened to what Satavi just mentioned. You know, I'm extremely grateful because I've been blessed with skills and talents. And during this time, when it for publishing, when it gets close to the time for us to lay the paper out and go to print, it get real kind of chaotic in a sense. But to me, it's normal. Anybody else, they might be pulling their hair out or something, but because of my experiences over the years, and that's with all of us. See, you know, when you live long enough, you do something continuously, you get pretty good at it. So no matter who you are, what you do, if you stick with something, something that you really care about doing, you become extremely, you do it pretty well. That's cooking, building, whatever you put your heart and mind to. So if you stay consistent, that's why God gave us talents, and he told us to nurture those gifts and talents. And he's also mentioned that those gifts and talents would make a way for you. Well, my gifts and talent is definitely making a way for me because it gives me something to do every morning. It also helped me to help others as well. And collectively, we help a lot of people with this publication. And we're still in our infancy. Yes, we're only about six years old, going on seven. But we are doing some great and wonderful things. So I encourage those who are on Facebook Live, those who are on Blog Talk Radio, first and foremost, welcome. Mm-hmm. But then the second thing is get a subscription or get it online. Share this good news because it's some serious stuff taking place. And we need to unite. We need to communicate with one another. And we have very few mediums to do that's sincere and that's by us that you can connect with. And there's plenty of us out there, but you have to find us. But we are front and center, so get a subscription. Join the publication. If you have a product, goods, or service that you know can help our people and your heart is in the right place, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Okay, now before we get in our subject matter, as we all know, this is Women's History or Women's Celebration Month. I don't know the exact title, but before I say anything else, I want to send my condolences out there. I believe Tennessee, where another unfortunate shooting took place with three children was murdered and three adults. And you know, this is like David mentioned that now our children more are being killed by guns than in even car accidents. And so this is the state of where we are today. You know, people are doing these all kinds of unsavory things, and that's just what I'm talking about. The National Black Unity is solution oriented, and it's obviously hurting people, hurts people. And if you're hurting out there, and you don't know where to go, you know, you can seek a seeker, you shall find, knock, and the door will be open to you. Ask it, and it will be given to you. Seek help if you're having some difficult times and you feel as though it's difficult to get out of. See, that's another thing about what the National Black Unity. We have a host of people who have been there and done that. If you have heard, if you have even known some of the stories of some of the editors in this publication, some of the difficulties that they had in life, it seemed like in their lives was no way out, but somehow, some way, God has brought them through. And he would do the same for you as well. So if you're having some issues out there, seek help. Because the life you save might not only be yours, but it could be your loved or somebody else's loved ones. And so, again, you know, my heart goes out to them. But, again, in the streets of Baltimore, any major city, this happens every day pretty much. Our children are being gunned down. Our people are being gunned down. All types of situations are going on, but let's just keep everybody in prayer and lift each other up. But I want to talk about something, like I said, we solution oriented, so I want to talk about something positive today, and that is our queens, our ladies, our sheroes. You know, I can never describe them. I would never try to, but all I know is this. There are some powerful people. They are the most nurturing, caring people. Man, I can go on and on and on, but I'm going to say this. You know, they deserve.
Watch your words before the opening.
Okay, I got it. They deserve our appreciation. They earned it. They earn my respect. And we've been kind of talking about women all of this month. And I don't think it was unfair, just that I was inquisitive enough to ask them what they wanted one, you know, last week, I believe it was. And I'm going to flip the switch tonight. I'm going to ask the ladies if they bold enough, and I know they are, to ask us gentlemen anything that they want to know about us, anything. And brothers, those who are on there, I know you're some broke, strong brothers. And I know you would give the best answer that you can if they throw these questions at us. And if you don't, I will. I will be the, I'll put myself on the chopping block, but I'll speak honesty and truth. And so, again, we celebrate our queens, our ladies, our sheroes, because they earned it. And ask me how I know. All I have to do is look at my own mother, my sisters, my children, my wife, my everybody, my neighbors, my people. I mean, just in general, I've seen ladies do some things that I personally don't think I'm ever capable of doing, how they can juggle stuff, how they can, I mean, but any case, ladies, I see we have Ms. Cheryl Ricks with us on here tonight, Dr. Nala Ali is on here, I see Joy Ford is on here.
I have a question.
Okay, I'm going to get to you. I know you're going to fire it up. And I just want to recognize these brothers before they won't go run. I got Rico Crowley on here calling them out for you. Mr. Walter Dempsey Murphy's on here. Dr. Pender's on here. Brother Umoja's on here. Dr. Leroy McKenzie's on here. Brother Hakeem Bernard is on here. And Brother Satavi. All of these brothers on here tonight. I don't know if they will invest us, but Cheryl Rick, you got any question you want to ask us?
Well, I'm just throwing it out there to the brothers in general. As a Black woman who loves Black men, what is it that you never got from a woman that you didn't think you could get from a woman and is willing to ask a woman that may have it to give to you? In other words, you've been in a lot of relationships with women, you know, all kinds of relationships. And there may have been something that you needed from a woman, one that at different parts of your life or different situations What were some of those things that you wish you could have got from a woman? Any woman that you ever met, of anything you may have ever needed? What is it that we women can give you? If you, you know, it's like asking for something that you always wanted, but you didn't have, you didn't know you could ask and get it, or you was like, I don't think that I can ask for that. What is that, guys? What is that? Because you have a lot of women in this paper and on this call tonight that can probably give you some of the things that you've been wanting from a woman. And some things have to come from a woman's voice, and some for a man, and some things have to come from a man's voice for a woman. What can we give you tonight?
Well, I'll do one question. I mean, I'll answer this part. Anybody else can jump in after me. You know, it's a thing. This is just my opinion. I can't speak for no other brother. It's a couple of things that is vital, as far as I'm concerned. What the first thing is, and I know you have to earn this, it's a thing called respect. You know, because and understanding. But one of the most things that I most needed in my lifetime is this. And I've seen quite a few brothers have these things, but I never had it personally. That don't take away from the mates that I had over the years. It's just that I always wanted a lady, because I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a visionary. I would always wanted a woman as a partner to help me with this vision, to walk with me, you know, help me carry this load. I mean, not behind the scenes. I'm talking about with me, right up front, hand in hand. And I've seen a lot of brothers who have that. And I know we can't have it all, but you can expect to have it all. But that's one thing that I kind of missed in my entire life, somebody to, you know, because I've been in business for over 45 years. And I've seen many, you know, couples on the front line, ups, downs, the ins and outs, and I think that's so great, you know, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, that's my question. I mean, answer. Any brothers else want to jump in there? Strong black men.
thank you for the compliment, but. And when it comes down to women, they're like second-class citizens sometimes, okay? You may have bigger muscles, but I think they got stronger brains, okay? I'll be honest with you. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Walt Eugene Dempsey Murphy, and I am the managing director of the National Black Community News. And Sister Cheryl Ricks, what a powerful, powerful question. And it's a broad one. Unfortunately, most folks can't narrow it down to one specific thing like David did, which is pretty good. And I got to tell you that one of the things that Dave was talking about kind of touched home for me, because that's the first thing I put down was companionship. It is the number one thing, companionship. You know, with us you being together and being able to share the same space at the same time and not kind of strangle each other or cut each other's throat, you know, it's a powerful thing, especially, ladies and gentlemen, because it is hard to share. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you love them. I hear your boo and all of that sort of stuff. But to share constantly the same space at the same time, and to agree on everything, or to eat in, even if you do agree on everything, agreeing to the same degree on everything is very difficult. In fact, impossible. No two people like the same thing all the time the same way. And so companionship is an amazing thing. And Dave was also talking about, when you talk about the companionship attitude, you know, I've been blessed. I really have. Most of you guys know my wife is an editor at the National Black Community News. Her name is Kathleen Andrews Murphy. We have been married since 1975. I will tell you that she has, on many cases, on many business ventures, been my partner along with me in certain ventures. And I will tell you that it is an amazing thing to have somebody who has your dream in their heart. And so one of the things I also want to share with you is that, like I said, I couldn't narrow it down like David did, but the thing I do want to tell you is this. There's a thing that everybody loves to have, and if you have it, you know it. It's called friendship. when they're your friend, they will do things because they're your friend. They will literally, I mean, vice versa, don't get me wrong. I don't mean the Christmas presents or the birthday. No, I mean friend stuff. Tell you when things are not right or to build you up when things are not right or to help you get better when things are good. And so all I want to share with you is that, you know, I hear you, Cheryl, and there, again, it all depends on the person because you got to know that some people don't want what David wants. They want somebody, it's all sex or all money or religion, or it could be anything, but it's mostly companionship, and it boils down to companionship and friendship, and I hope that's close. Hopefully that's close to what you're asking.
All right. I appreciate that, sir. Let me call on some brothers if y'all ain't stepping up. Y'all ain't knocking down the thing. Brother Umoja, can you unmute yourself?
So somehow or another, Mr. David Murphy, I knew you was going to call me.
I'm going to call on all these brothers. They ain't getting away. Yes, sir.
David.
Did you hear the question?
Of course I heard the question, David. And okay. You know I'm different from most people. It was a good question, and young lady, I'm going to answer it this way.
Brother Umoja, I'm you moving around or something.
Like I said, I'm different from my little sweetheart. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, better.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I married my childhood sweetheart. She was in the 12th grade, and I had graduated from school. I had prepared a world for us, and we were together until she passed away in my arms after 20 years. And during that 20 years of us being together, she taught me about love. And I learned that love is our first basic need of life. And we love each other and we like one another. I liked everything about her as she liked everything about me. And in those 20 years, we never argued. It may sound strange. Actually, never, ever argued. We never had a fight. And she taught me how to love and all about love. And the most beautiful thing in the world that I learned from her is the reciprocation of love in the relationship. I was with another young lady, and tragically, she passed away. And that's my youngest son's mother. And she and I was together for a long time. And the same thing happened. We were good friends. And she and I never, ever argued. And I know people think in a relationship that you need to argue, that you're going to argue. But I'm 75 years old. I've never had a fight with a woman. I do not argue with women because I think if you're in love, if you are, like Murphy said, a friend of that person, you will be able to get along and reciprocate that love and be able to deal with almost anything that comes along with that. So if the young lady wants to know, be a friend to the person that you are in love with, acquiesce, and the relationship will go a long way. You love within yourself and leave outside alone. Because most relationships that I have seen over the years, and I've been around 3/4 of a century, are destroyed from the outside. If you want to be in love and maintain a good relationship, stay within yourselves. That's all.
I appreciate that. And for those who have just joined us, I see we have Sister Lida Arthur, Joy Ford, Dr. Jenkins on here. Brother Ransom just joined us. And discussion is tonight, we're asking the ladies what they want to know about us men. Because last week, I flipped the switch on them. And so if you ladies on here, if there's something that you always wanted to know, and you know, I don't know about the rest of these brother, but I believe they would give you straight up answers, you know, from their opinion. Any question you want to ask us men about, you know, what's your thoughts, why, what for, how come, this is the time to do so. You know, like I say, I'm a bold brother. I see we got Mr. Murphy's bold brother too. And I think Dr. Charles Pender is a bold brother as well. Dr. Pender, can you unmute yourself, sir? Dr. Pender. Okay, hopefully he'll unmute himself shortly. And any of you other brothers want to ask that, answer Cheryl's Rick's question? Dr. Leroy McKenzie?
Yes, sir. I was actually just going to take myself off of mute, but good evening, everybody. And it's a good question, and we don't have these dialogues enough, if you ask me. And then usually, if it's done, it's usually where we're talking at each other versus to each other. And I love the question that Sister Cheryl asked us. Because it's a genuine question, it's an honest question, and it's something that we have to be, like you all have done, is to be, you know, transparent and honest about. And I'll just say this: I mean, it's been simple. The only things that I've asked from, you know, just any of my, you know, whether it's someone that I was involved with, or even whether it's you know, my family, because I grew up with a whole house full of women. It was my mom and my two sisters, so I was the only boy. So having, you know, having women around and having that kind of, you know, being able to have those that perspective for me has always been special. But even getting into, you know, my relationship, the only thing that I've asked is to reciprocate what it is that I give to you, because I know that I'm going to respect you, I'm going to love you, I'm going to give you everything that I have in the relationship, and I just ask that from in return. I got that with, you know, whether it was my sisters and my mom, and then they've always been like that towards me. They've always been loving, they've always been there for me. And I've tried to reciprocate that with the, you know, with the women that I've been in relationships with. I've always wanted that. I wanted to give. I'm going to give you what I give back to you. I expect what I expect from you. I'm going to give to you. I'm not going to ask you to, you know, to do anything for me that I would not reciprocate to you. And I asked the same thing in the, you know, when it came to, you know, just anything in what we did, whether it was, you know, in the relationship, wanting to, hey, if I'm giving you love, I want to have that love back to me, whatever that love looked like. And one of the things that I did learn was, you know, that love looks different for everybody. And the same, the way that I love you is not necessarily the same way you're going to love me back, but it's still giving me love in that way. And I had to learn that. Was understanding, okay, this is what I'm asking, but this is what they're hearing or what they're reciprocating. And I have to understand, hey, this is them doing that, but it's in their way, and explaining to them if that's not what I'm feeling or seeing, that they, you know, that they understand that. So I would just say, you know, reciprocation. It would be the one word that I would use in regards to what I wanted to get and what I wanted to receive from women that I either did not, or that I was receiving from them. So that would be my take on it.
Hey, I appreciate that, sir. Okay. Now, ladies, for those, again, I'm just going to, you know, because a lot of people, you know, how we do on this show, pop in and pop up. We had, matter of fact, the ladies outnumbering the men now, so on the call. And Dr. Jenkins, how are you? Can you unmute yourself? I know she be double tasking sometime on the podcast, but if she can't talk, I'm going to move on to Ms. Joy Ford. Can you unmute yourself?
Yes. How are you this evening?
I'm still here, so everything is great as far as I'm concerned. But look, I was asking the question. I say, you know, last week I asked women, you know, some questions. Now it's time for you to ask us some questions, if you like. What is one question you wanted to ask men, or you wanted to know about men, or anything like that? You know, anything that's on your heart. I don't care what it is. You know, bring it to the table. So you might just get an answer tonight.
Okay. My question is, why is it so hard friends with a woman? But I've come to know that I really don't believe that anymore, that men can be friends with women and have just friendship. Most men always want, they're attracted to you, and so they want to date you, and then they want to go to the next step with you, and they don't know how to just be friends for a while to get to know each other. And I'm older now. I'm not jumping with people, you know, like when you were teenagers or 20 years old, but men seem to think they just got to jump to the sexual part of their lives. I don't get it, but maybe they can explain that. And I'm really not all that concerned about it, but it's a question.
Okay, I'll start off with that. First of all, I'm speaking for David Murphy, but I'm quite sure a lot of the brothers would agree with me too. Is this, we are, you know, and when we were coming up, we are very immature. And as a young boy, as especially when we in our teenage stage, our hormones are just jumping all over the place, and we usually have a one track mind during that period of time. But that's our maturity level at that time. So everything is brand new, and I know some women may not understand this, but you know, during this time, men, I don't care if you are friends, foe, enemy, or whatever, you know, that's what's on our mind. But as we get older, and then, you know, wisdom beginning to set in. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I have, I don't know if they were considered as friendship, but I have what you call close relationships with women. And I, you know, because of my maturity now, and I, you know, those things, you know, I look at a person for who they are, you know, and I don't look at them in that way because I was taught. Let me say this. Now, I'm going to be open and honest about this. I told some of you, I said, like I said, I'm an open book. I told y'all some years ago when I was getting my life together, I was in, went to school, the trade school, taking up the trade of printing. And I had a rough life, and so the type of women I used to deal with had problems. They had some serious issues, drinking issues, drug issues, and things like that. That's the only type of women who would deal with me at that time. And one thing about me, I was always, people can always share with me. And women used to tell me some heartbreaking stories, what happened to them when they was, you know, even by their own family members and things like that, you know, just horrific, you know. And, but still, I'm in my 30s at this time, and I'm in this school, and I get in this cosmetology shop. I mean, there was a cosmetology shop. That's when we ran those big bushes back in them days. And I was in this shop, and I started dealing with quite a few of the women in that shop, and I was open and honest about it, because I was just getting my life together, and I wasn't trying to look for no relationship, and I explained that, because I was, you know, fighting for my life. But nevertheless, I dated quite a few of them. And because it was all brand new, I never had that many type of women at one time in my whole life. I mean, I was dating so many. I thought I was the Mac of the year. I thought I was the stuff. I was the player. I mean, things was happening until one day. A bunch of them, we had things called a study room. They had these little kiosks, whatever, you know, little sections in there. And I was all the way in the back. And a bunch of these young ladies came in there, and they said, they started talking. Then all of a sudden, I heard my name. And these young ladies said, yeah, David Murphy, yeah. And they said, yeah, I was with him last week. Another one said, yeah, I'll be with him a couple of weeks from, yeah, I had him too. And they, you know, they were passing me around, so to speak. Do you know that some men would have glorified in that? But you know me personally. The first thing came to my mind was them young ladies back in the day, how they felt when they was being abused and used. I felt the same way. I felt so low. I can barely hold my head up when I was around them women again. Because I just felt terrible. I stepped out of my shoes into their shoes, them girls that I used to come up with. And from that point on, it was a valuable lesson as far as I'm concerned. I don't look at women like that. Yes, you're very attractive and you're sexual and everything else. I'm still a man. But I have enough respect for women now to understand that they're human beings and we can get past it. It don't have to be that way, sexual or anything like that. That's far as David Murphy is concerned. Now, and I know some men takes time to grow up. Sometimes it takes men longer, but this is just from my perspective, is that I believe, can be friends with women without those intentions. Any other brother want to jump in on that? Okay.
David, I'll just say something.
See, first. Mr. Murphy, we come from a strong family, though. We bold.
We bold, because David, we've been rooting for some bad women. Come on, man. I feel confident in the fact of talking about women. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I really feel confident by talking about women. Not that I'm some guru, because I'm not. There is no one person on this planet that can explain any one person, period, let alone a whole group of people. So that's not what's going on here. There's no magic bullet to cure all of that question into one time shot and hit the bullseye. It ain't gonna happen, okay? However, David is on point when he talks about the idea of image. And that image that David just talked about in two different ways. Once he was the Mac. Hello, he was the pimp. And he was being pimped. And that's what's going on for a lot of us today when it comes down to our relationship. Who's touching who? I'm being honest with you, there's a seem like there's this crazy little competition. If you don't meet up to all of her old standards, and if she don't meet up to all his standards, it ain't on. And then you
kind of breaking up, Mr. Murphy. If you just stand still, something.
You hear what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? And I'm sharing with you guys is that when it comes down to the idea of why men do that sort of a thing, look out. It's a lot of different reasons, but the key is that if we teach our women and our men to be more respectful of yourself, because that's where it came from, as David. It's more respect about who you are. And once you realize that this guy is not all that, and I'm not accepting all that other stuff that doesn't go along with the relationship that I don't want, then don't do that. But a lot of us will sit back and, he looks cute, he smells good, he got a car, and he has a job. It's all that matters for the start. And lo and behold, what happens? Heartbreak, misery, pain. Sometimes even physical and financial pain. They'll drain your bank account, mess up your credit account, and mess up, maybe pick you back up. So the deal is that there was this old thing I heard years ago. And there is no magic bullet to your question, sister. But the key is for you sisters out there, use wisely. Go ahead, David.
Whoa, okay. Any other brother want to chime in on the question before we move
yes,
on?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Come on in.
David, I was just listening to you, and I don't know about that other Murphy. I know y'all got a crystal ball, but I'll leave y'all crystal ball alone. But look, this is what I'm saying. It's a great deal to do with society. Society is a killer of our women. They make them believe that they have to be a certain way and do a certain thing these days. And they always out here trying to get the beautiful fingernails, the beautiful hair. And especially these young girls, they got these things called BBLs or something like that. And they're trying to make themselves presentable to be used by men. And then they got all these records, these songs, these DVDs that make them think that they supposed to be used by men. And they don't realize that they're destroying themselves. When we were younger,
I remember when I was younger and the girls ran around with virgin pins on. A girl 17, 18 years old was proud to wear a virgin pin. These days, the girl 14, 15 years old who haven't had sex, the girls are saying, you're 16, you haven't had sex yet? What's wrong with you? You know, it's the girls destroying the girls' lives, destroying their future. You know me. You know I got quite a few children. But most people would be surprised that I was a late bloomer because I didn't start having sex until I was 20 years old. I went to school, graduated from school, you know, started college, you know, had a job and everything before I even decided to do anything like that. Today, they start having sex at 14, 15, 16 years old. And the average girl, when I was back in the 50s, in the 60s, the girls at 14 years old were still playing with dolls. The average girl, 14, 15 years old, got a baby. You know, so when you look at it today, the girls, I don't really know or think they know what respect is because they throw that word around a great deal. I don't even think they know. We look at respect that holds someone in high regard. They cannot hold themselves in high regards running around half-dressed. I don't think they can hold themselves in high regards running around speaking to people the way they speak, the loudness of their voices and the words that come out of their mouths to each other, to their children, to their significant other. I don't know what to say about this generation except that I'm afraid for the generation that they are raising because they're going to be our future. So we're sitting here talking about what's wrong with them. I don't know.
Well, I have a comment.
Yes. Come on in.
One of the reasons why young women feel like they have to do all these things that they hear in the music videos and all the songs is because the presence of a father, the presence of the male in the home to help us to know our value and worth. A lot of mothers are broken. A lot of fathers are broken. So when kids come up in broken homes where the father has been abused, the mother has been abused, you know, everybody, you know, from generation to generation have been abused and told they was never going to be anything, couldn't be anything. When you surround yourself with people that are hurting and they hurt you and you're trying to find love in all the wrong places from all the wrong people, I mean, this is what happened. And even if people came out of a good home, if they have a father that's present and all he does is pay the bills and don't contribute to that child's upbringing, you know, don't validate them, don't let them know that they value when they need it, don't treat them in a respectful way. There's a lot of abuse going on in these homes around the world, even more so in the pandemic because people couldn't escape it. They had to stay home with their abusers. They had to stay home with the parents that were abusing them and talking down to them and taking their frustrations out on them. So there's a lot of reasons why people show up and they have no sense of value, so no sense of self-worth. I had a father in the home. He was a great father, but I didn't have conversations with him. He didn't speak the kind of things in me. I got all my education from the streets, the girls I hung out with. You know, I followed the crowd. I was a teenage mother four times. I had four kids before my 20th birthday. You know, but God has a way of taking all those things that we go through in life and making something wonderful out of it. So instead of complaining about what the people are doing or not doing, let us teach some children. Let's teach some young people. Let's show them what complete function looks like and not what dysfunction looks like. Let us, you know, reach out to some people and say, you know what, there are some things that you're doing that's just not going to serve you well. Let me share some things with you. Let me give you some wisdom. Let me be a part of your life. Let me be there to help lead and guide you. We didn't get to where we are alone. There was people that came alongside of us when we was acting the fool for most of us, and they helped us to get to where we are. So there's going to be every generation that don't know how to do it right. But if the generations ahead of us got to reach back and help those generations that don't know how to do it right, get it right.
All right. Guess what? I'm glad you mentioned that because, see, that's why I'm so grateful for the National Black Unity News. People, even though we are talking about this subject, and I'm glad you brought this up, Cheryl, because Cheryl authored several books about it. Young ladies and women, how to, you know, to be stronger. Even my brother Yamoja, from his mother, penned the book 52 Weeks about women, how the strength of the women. Dr. Nala Ali is on here, who wrote several books, children's books, and things like that on there. Joy Ford. So we are very solution oriented, even though we have an open discussion, but we have solutions on here. We have people who really put in some work. And so I appreciate all of y'all because, like I say, I'm surrounded by a great deal of people, man, who not just talk the talk, but, you know, is doing something about it. Now, I'm going to move right along because, like I said, I'm going to try to, you know, it's a lot of us on here, and I'm going to try to get to as many as I possibly can. Lila Arthur, can you unmute yourself? Okay. Lila, if you can, if you want to, unmute yourself. Okay, I'm going to move right along. Dr. Jacobs, are you available?
Yes, sir. I'm available now.
All right. Now, I know you've been hearing our conversation about what women want to know about us, about men, or is men in society. You know, what's your thoughts? What's your question? Or do you have a question?
A lot you guys probably don't know my story, but most people, the people who follow me know my story. I'm not a, I guess for me personally, I've given up on the whole love and marriage and dating thing. So I don't really, you know, I'm probably not the best person to get advice.
You could ask a question though. You can ask. Just ask us a question. That's, you know, something you may want to know.
I don't really have a question. I did have a comment. You all were talking about how our young people are acting, especially our young ladies, and I wanted to say also that it's a lot of women my age that are acting, you know, and I look at them, I look at a lot of women my age or close to my age who I look at the way that they dress. We talk about these BBLs. A lot of them are getting BBLs or, you know, trying to restructure their face or whatever it is they're trying to do. And we have to remember that the younger generation is looking at us. You know, I had a great upbringing, a great father, and I was just taught that, you know, I'm beautiful just the way I am. And so, you know, we have to learn how to make sure that we are available for those young women. And I even talk to women my age about how they dress and, you know, how they talk. And it's almost like, you know, they're going in reverse. And it's kind of sad because we're supposed to be the example, especially Black women, and these are, you know, educated women, people who haven't gone to college. It's just like everybody's looking at what's going on TV and how these stars look, and everybody wants to look like this person and that person. Nobody wants to be themselves. And I don't really think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like there's quite a few men on here, but I don't think at the end of the day, I think the man just wants you to be you. I don't think that men want all of the extra stuff that women are doing to themselves, you know? And maybe some do, I don't know, that's my opinion, but I just feel like, you know, as we talk about the young women, we also got to speak about these older women that's out here, you know, and we, and even on social media, because I'm on social media a lot, and the things that I see these women doing on social media, like when I was growing up, you know, I grew up at the time where the Hustler and Penthouse magazines and all these magazines, they were in the plastic bag, and you had to, like, you couldn't just walk up and go buy the magazine, you know. But now it's just like pornography on the internet, on TikTok, YouTube, all these things. Like, you can literally go on there and see a woman, no clothes on, you know, doing whatever they want to do. And these are not little girls. These are not teenagers. These are not like girls in the 20s. These are grown women. So it's a little frustrating for me, because I feel like, you know, some women have lowered the bar and the standards so low that they make it easy for men, you know. And so for somebody like myself who's not going to lower the standard or not lower the bar, it's hard for me to get a date. It's extremely hard for somebody to ask me out, because I'm not going to be doing those things, and I'm not going to be dressing a certain way to get your attention. So that's the only comment that I had, you know, that I wanted to bring up.
Well, that's good. That's good, because you know what? You're so right, because, you know, I'm in media. And we, and, you know, of course, you know, black folks, you know, we have been abused through media, period. You know, just from watching the cartoons all the way up, you know, big lips and bones in our head and stuff, you know, when I was a little boy. You know, so we always been abused. But now, but mass media sells this dysfunction. And they say it sells, and people buying into it, the music, the rap music, that some of the rap music, the names they were called on women, they was fighting words back in the days when I was coming up. You know, you don't call people that, you know. But see, this is the sign of the times that we have to deal with. But, you know, I always say there is hope, because just like you, Dr. Jenkins, like Cheryl Ricks on here, you know, y'all have standards. You know, y'all been through the, you know, this, that, but, you know, there come a time in your life you have to grow up. Like I had to do, I had to come mature. You know, I had to change my way of thinking about, you know, who you are. First of all, you have to look at who you are first before you start, you know, expecting something from somebody else. But before, you know, I get off into my rant, I just want to move on, because there are several people that haven't got to talk to Ali. Can you unmute yourself?
Yes, good evening, everyone.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
And I know you've been sitting patiently by. You know I was going to call on you, right?
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, while we have a few Bowman, me and Mr. Murphy, Bowman, and a few other brothers, I'm starting to mess with them, and Brother Leroy and Brother Umoja, yeah. But in any case, no, they step up when they want to. But do you have any questions or concern about men or the that you may just want, that you're curious about?
I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So we as women, we have our sister circle like Cheryl has, and so many of us have our ways of expressing our emotions. We talk to our sister friends. We talk to other women. We come together. We cry together. We do all kind of things when we are in pain, when we have scars or things don't go the way that we want them to go. And I just want to know, how do you gentlemen handle your emotions when things do not go right for you, or things that you went through, scars that you experienced growing up? Do you all, or have you all created an outlet, a way for you to be able to express your feelings, your pain, your emotions? What do you all do, or do you all carry all these things inside and don't deal with them because you were taught that a man doesn't cry, or a real man doesn't really open up and say how they feel, because it's only your responsibility to provide? So I just want to know, how do men actually care for themselves emotionally when there is trauma on the inside of you?
Whoa, that's a lonely one. Let me say this. I'm going to answer this because I fit all of that kind of stuff, you know. First of all, you're right. We was brought up, most men was brought up, we don't supposed to cry, we don't supposed to show our emotion, we supposed to man up, no matter how we feel. but yet that's why we were so angry, violent, that we did not deal with our emotions. Even as we got older, most men would never share the innermost secret with another man because it would appear to the other man that you're weak. But as I mature, I found out you can't tell your stories to just know any man, no circle sometimes, but there's always, in my circle, there's always, I got Mr. Murphy, Bill Gooden, Umoja, and several other brothers that I can just open up to, that I trust them. But then again, I'm at that point in stage in life where I don't give a damn whether you tell my story or not. I'm just releasing right now because I know by holding stuff in, it almost killed me. That stress, that buildup in me, the stuff that I used to hold in pretty much all my life almost took me out of here. And it's very frustrating. That's why if men can't get along with themselves, nowhere in the world are going to get along with a woman. And that's why we have so much problems. But, you know, it is. I'm just saying it to these brothers out here. You have to find somebody, someone that you can share with. And say, I got some brothers, man, I can pour it all out of them, you know, but, you know, to a certain extent. But most brothers will understand that, see, if you open up and be straight up with another brother, then he let his guard down and they would open up too. And then we find out that we have a lot in common and that most of us have been living a lie about who we are, who we supposed to be. And yes, men hurt just like everybody else. They love just like everybody else. They've been traumatized by women, you know, but they will never let you know. And stuff like this, sometimes, you know, they will suffer internally. It's almost like internal suicide that sometimes to share with a woman how they really feel. Because then again, that even to us personally, just to me, it's where I used to think. If we would share that, what we, you know, like I say, find yourself some brothers you can share something with. But if you share that with a woman, our first thought is that you're going to think of us as weak. And that you would step over us, you know, men, you know, because I think, you know, we think that y'all had this ideology about us that we supposed to be strong, we supposed to can take it, we supposed to do this. Not only we do it to ourselves, but our projection to you is the same way. We supposed to be all of these different things. Yeah, we cry, we hurt, you know, women see it, you know, most women that I know, they seen a man and who will pour himself out of them, they may lose respect for them. And so that's just my opinion, but now, you know, I know that it's life-altering that you cannot, should not hold these things. If you can't find nobody, go to a therapist or somebody that you had to release on, because if you hold that stuff in, gentlemen, it will kill you. Anybody else want to jump in on Dr. Ali's question?
Yeah, David, I'd like to respond to that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my greatest confidant is my mother. You know, I have long, good conversations with my mother, and especially now in her ripe old years, where she's 80-some years old. But even when she was in her 60s, and even before then, you know, we used to just sit and talk. And then I have three sisters, so, you know, I grew up in a house full of women. And so my mother was the main confidant, and then my sisters, you know, became my confidants. And, you know, that's been my rocking chair, being able to dialogue with my mom and talk with her and get advice from her. So I would say to people, to other brothers out there, hopefully you have a good relationship with your mother. Because you would want to treat the women that you deal with the same way you would want your mother to be treated. So that's what my mother taught me, you know. Treat your women like you would treat me. And so, you know, I just wanted to share that comment, bro.
Okay, I appreciate that, sir. Any other brother want to jump in on this?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Back again.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know how I am about women. Considering I wrote a 520-page book about women.
I knew a little bit about women. But what I learned about women was from my mother. And, of course, you know my mother was raised by a slave. So I learned a great deal about women because my mother was raised by a slave, and she was born before 1865. My grandmother was born before 1865. She knew a great deal about men. She knew how a man was raised during them days. The people of today don't know what a man looked like. My mother, my grandmother do. I understand how to cry. When I felt bad, I went to my mother, my grandmother. I went to my woman. And believe me, I have cried a river of tears in front of many women because I know the importance of crying. I know the importance of feeling. If a man don't believe that he feels the same feeling that a woman feels, he don't feel nothing. Because a feeling is a feeling is a feeling. I don't feel different from a woman because pain is pain. I don't care who feels it. Happiness is happiness. I don't care who's feeling it. And for us to be foolish to think that a woman don't feel the same as a man and a man don't feel the same as a woman, it's crazy. But my parents, who was born at the turn of the century, and my grandparents, who were born in the 1800s and came up with men who had went through the things that they had to go through during the 1800s and at the beginning of Jim Crow, those were men who had to go through some trials and tribulations that the men who think they are men today will never see. And those men and those women who taught me, and that is the reason why I can deal with God, nature, and the natural order of life and living as I do. So, yes, I can release everything in me, all of the feelings that I have for everything to a woman and feel good about it because she is my strength. Just like God gave her the strength and love and she transferred it to me. That's what I see in a woman.
Yeah, I like that, brother. I really like that. All right. I appreciate that, sir. All right. Any brother else, anybody else before we move on to another young lady? Okay. Miss Kathleen Murphy, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Yeah, let's talk about Mr. Murphy. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, let's do that.
A top stuff is on the way.
But you've been listening to the conversation. We're just asking our ladies, you know, while we're having this discussion about men and women, you know, last week, I kind of reversed it. So this week I decided to ask the ladies, what's on your mind, you know, when it comes to men, something that you always wanted to know. It can be any subject, man. We've grown here, and as you know. But, you know, anything on your mind, because sometimes when we release something that's, you know, that we always wanted to know, it normally has an effect that it releases other people as well. And so what's on your mind? What any type of-
As I listened to everyone talk, I did jot down one thing that I would like to get some feedback on. And it's the art of communicating. And you know, there's a gap, I think, with the male and female. And sometimes I wonder, you hear the term, there's a Venus and there's a Mars, and that we're on opposite poles there. And so I see it all the time. I've worked in an industry where I work mainly with men, and the art of communications is something that could be improved, I think. Even the art of listening, the whole area of communication. So I guess my question is, wonder why there is such a gap as far as the way women handle communications and the way men handle communication and listening skills?
Well, I'll start off with me again. You know, it's a word called fear. You know, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thing about fear is this, you know, because it's based on my upbringing. And so we were told we supposed to impress or impress upon women that we are the alpha males. Then we got it all together. You know, we the stuff, you know, so we can't come to you broken and this, that. So a lot of times, you know, in my case, you know, back in the day, you wouldn't probably, most likely you wouldn't hear nothing from me because I couldn't even project that because I was broken. And so I couldn't talk to a woman just straight up. But, you know, I didn't have confidence. I had low self-esteem. And I did make a few attempts. And I tell you, ladies, I want y'all to hear this. You know, a lot of the trauma that y'all been through when y'all was coming up, abused by men and everything, you know, men go through trauma too. One of the first main traumas a man will go through is being rejected by a woman, a little girl that he really likes. And he may pull her hair, he may do something, write a note or something. And she said, "Ooh, get away from me," or something like that. You know, you just broke his little heart. And from that point on, he goes into a shell. "They ain't going to happen to me again. You bite me one time, I ain't going back to that no more." So for a lot of us, you know, things like that happen to us. And so therefore, the next time we approach someone, we package ourselves up pretty big instead of coming at you as the real person, as the real you. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, and again, that rejection is so, I don't know about other men, but it was devastating. And then you put a shell up around you from that point on. Say, "This ain't never going to happen to me again," even though it happened time and time again. But that's why men so standoffish, a lot of them. But they fear to get hurt or reject. You know, that's the worst thing that happens to most men, egos. It just, you know, women just shut them down like that. That's my opinion. Anybody else, Mr. Murphy?
Oh, just throw me into the fire. I got a fireproof suit on right now, man. Listen, I don't disagree with you at all. Most of it is about image, and unfortunately, Kathleen, you know, we have in our lives so many different people, women and men, who wind up not being great communicators because, like David said, you know, a lot of it's being unsure. A lot of time when you get ready to talk to someone, if you don't know for the first time, you're really nervous and you may say something dumb, stupid, or even wrong. But the point is that, you know, communications is what it is. And a lot of times, if you don't come across confident, cool, collected, with your brain intact, with no agenda, understand something. A lot of times people can see right through your conversation. You're out for the money, you're out for the honey. That's what most women will see. You're either out for my money or my honey, okay? You know, my time is my time, but what you really want is my money or my honey. And when most men come across, they want one or the other. They want. And so what men need to understand is that that's a human being you're talking to. And if you're talking to her, there's probably about 5 or 6 or 8 men a day trying to talk to that same one. And so a lot of what you're saying to her has been said in many, many different ways. And what most of it filtered through is reality. Real men, like my buddy Moji was talking about, a real man. They can see through most of that stuff. You guys are not blind. The only blindness that you have is that you get weak and you settle for what you don't really want. However, when you see a real man, you know what you're dealing with. And that somebody can give you that, that's what he is. He's not a phony. He's just what he is. And when you get that genuine individual, a lot of the times that's all you need to be a full-fledged man. Be yourself. Back to you, David. Okay.
I had a comment.
Yes.
One of the things that I believe help our communication as women and men is that we first realize that we're both human beings. I'm a human being from the feminine persuasion, and you are a human being from the male persuasion. We still human beings. We want a lot of the same things. We need the same things. You know, we have the same hopes and dreams. We have the same pain, same horror, same disappointment. You know, so many things that we have similar because we're human beings before we are man or woman. So if we can connect with a person from the person to person, a human being to human being, before we say, oh, I realize you're a man, oh, let me just flip it to that, or you're a woman, let me say it this way. And one of the things that helped me understand men even more now than I ever had before is that my son and I have been nurturing our relationship for the last 3 years, and he has gone through a lot of things. But the one thing that he needed that he never had was somebody that he could just talk about any and everything to, say it the way he felt it, you know, express it, somebody that he could just get it off his chest. And sometimes when we talk and he'll say, Mom, I'm a man. I'm not going to think of it like that. That's not, you know, that Venus and Mars thing. So I think as men and women, we give something uniquely different to one another. We just have to receive it. And there's a reason why a child needs a mother and a father. Because the father gives one perspective to the child, the mother gives another perspective, but the child needs both perspectives to be able to manage life and themselves and what happens in life. So just recognizing that, let's be people first. Let's connect human on human, human being to human being. And then, like, okay, let me break it down so you can get it. You know, it's like when the brother, he fumbles a football. And you going to pick it up and make the touchdown. Okay, we make it a man scenario. It's like a woman. You know, you're cooking something really good, and next thing you know, you forgot, oh, my goodness, I forgot to put that in there because, oh, that's the best ingredient. So it's just connecting with each other person to person before we start talking to each other as a man or a woman.
Well, you know something? In this society, and I know we on here, we kind of preaching to the choir, so to speak. But we up against a powerful machine, media, misinformation, not only from outside, but from on the inside as well, because we were taught a certain way. This is the way it is, and this is the way it is. And a lot of that stuff, like I say, was a bad bill of goods. It wasn't good for us. You know, it wasn't true. And but it's not too late, because this type of conversation, which is needed, because especially our children and our children's children. I pull my grandson up sometimes. And he's very reluctant to talk to me when it comes to women issues and things like that. But I try to course him out of, because I try to put myself, yeah, I was your age and I used to do this and this happened to me, because I know I don't want him to go through what I've been through. So I know, because he talked to little girls now and he got a little cell phone and he's 18 now. And, he just went through proms and all that kind of stuff, you know. And so I know he's out there, and I know he has all kinds of thoughts going on. And I know he's trying this image thing he tried to hold up and everything else. So I personally try to break it down to him, like I say, by opening up first to him. Little by little, he's coming around. He trusts me. He loves me and everything. But, you know, but he don't think I'm capable to communicate with him on that level. And to be quite frank with it, those who are who remember when they was young, kind of thought you knew more than your parents did. You know, you thought you knew it all. They was old fuddy duddies. They don't know nothing. You know, they don't know what's happening today, as they used to say. And so, and be quite frank with you, I really don't know what too much is going on today, but I do know the same things are happening, the same, you know, solution they listening to are the same kind of misinformation I was, even more so now. It's way worse than when I was coming up, because actually I didn't listen to that stuff on the radio or on the internet, and all this stuff was exposed to me. you know, and but one thing we do have, they have, they can find information out, but there's so much information, they're confused. And I think, Cheryl, Ms. Murphy, and everybody else on here, and I think a lot of us are very confused as well, you know, until we came of age, because like I say, most of us make quite a few mistakes coming up. At the time we were making those mistakes, we were doing the best we could at the time, but even though we thought we were doing the best thing that we could do at that time. But as time go on, you know, maturity do sets in, wisdom do come in. But, you know, you can take that wisdom and pass it on down. But the first thing is you have to set somebody down. You have to be able to reach those young folks. And before we close out, there's anybody on here right now, men or women, you know, this open discussion. If y'all want to share something, Brother Ransom, Vern is on here, Rico, that we haven't heard from. And there's one more lady. I can't let her go. I hope that. Is that you, Kim?
Yes, Mr. David. How are you?
Yeah, and Miss International Kim. Now, you've been all over the world, traveled all over the stuff, and you've been there. You've seen this and saw some of that. Now, I know all of them various countries that you've been in and that group you have called Sheroes and all of that stuff that you're involved with. I know you have quite a few conversations. So is there a conversation you'd like to open up and ask us gentlemen about?
So not a conversation, but more just like a one-minute statement. Could
okay.
you make me a co-host so that I can share something on the screen?
Let me see how to do this right quick.
So while you facilitating that, I just want to say that I usually have to show up in this space representing the official umbrella of my organization, the Teaching Artists Institute or TIE Corps, and usually having to take advantage of the time and give updates on what we're doing. You guys know I'm talking about the State of the Black World Conference in Baltimore right now and a whole lot of other things. Based on the conversation that you guys are having, I really feel like it gives me an opportunity to share about some of the things that I do under Kim Pool Music. Like, I am an artist first, and I'm really passionate about empowering Black African women using my art, but all our men, because I'm not a feminist. That's like a white woman's term. And, you know, white women, they really have major issues with their men. I mean, white men have done some, terrible things to the world. And their white women were the first to kind of benefit from that terror, you know, right in their own bedroom. But I think we as Black women, we have our share of issues with our men, but our sentiment around supporting them has always remained steadfast. And so I just want to share an initiative that I have under Kim Pool Music and invite all the women today to help me write this love letter. So we're writing a collective love letter to all Black men. And it's based on the movie, you guys are familiar with Black. So when Black Panther first came out and they told us about Eric Killmonger, I mean, I thought he was terrible. This guy, devoid of the feminine energy. He didn't have a mother in the movie. He didn't have any sisters. The one girlfriend he had, he killed her. That was the last test before he could get into Wakanda and achieve his mission. He didn't have a daughter or a niece. This was a caricature that was completely devoid of the feminine energy. And it really inspired me to write the love letter just in case there is a man out there that has been turned down by the woman, or you didn't have a good relationship with your mother. There wasn't a Mimi or a Nana to take her place. And, you know, maybe you just really haven't had that, you know, that there is a feminine energy that is in support of your development and that celebrates you. And remember that love when you show up to relationships with women, if ever you have the opportunity. And so we have a letter writing campaign. So I want to share mine so that you can better understand. I think I have the ability now. So I'm going to go ahead and start. So this says, a love letter to all Black men living in the diaspora to Eric from Erica Killmonger with love. And so I'm basically saying that all women in the diaspora are like Erica Killmongers dealing with this issue collectively. And so I'm going to go ahead and read it. It's in the form of a photographic essay. So it says, look at me, flesh of your flesh. I'm talking to you. Lean in close. I have something to say. You're as tall as the sky. I'll help you hold it. Take it if you need it. In my bosom, find peace and rest stress on my shoulders. Oh, I see. Just relax. I'll take care of this. I see where they done see. Me, they watch them with me side eye like Manny. Behold the strength of Queen Tai and Yah. It has been spoken. We stand fierce in victory. Meet me at the moon. Upon this stone, I write forever us. Love, Erica. And so again, an enduring love letter to the Eric Killmongers of the world, men navigating their experience without mother, auntie, sister, or wife. Take solace in the feminine energy of your ancestors and know that she is always with you. Love, Erica Killmonger. And so we're still in the process. We have many women from around the world that have committed to writing a love letter to Black men. And it doesn't have to be a love letter like to your significant other, but it can be maybe to a son or maybe a son that you met in the community, a brother, a brotherly love. So whatever type of love you want to show Black men, if that is something that you and your woman on this call that has done at some point in your life, please capture it and send it. If you want it to be in a photographic essay, we can include your pictures as well. If you just want the letter itself, that's fine. Again, a project I'm working on under my Kim Pool Music. We are going to add music to some of those love letters. But if you're on the call today and this Women's History Month, you want to commit to showing love to our Black men, please help me do that. And I'll post my email address inside of the chat. If you want to email that over to me, just let me know. Thank you, Mr. David.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was beautiful. I definitely want to be a part of it. I'll hit you up.
Thank you. And I'd have to call you. I owe you a phone call. I'm in North Carolina. I'm coming to get you. I'm going to come over and find you somewhere down here.
I'll be looking forward to it.
All right. See, like I say, man, I'm in a wonderful place around wonderful people who are doing wonderful and great things. And it's just unfortunately, the majority of our people don't see what I see or in the circle that I'm in. And that's why the National Black Unity News, ladies and gentlemen, is so important. Because, see, collectively, with all of these gifts and talents that we have, that synergy that we project out there is such a powerful, powerful tool. This thing is so way bigger than all of us, you know. And this is what Sister Kim showed tonight, the input that Cheryl brought tonight, Ms. Kathleen Murphy, Joy Ford, Dr. Jenkins, as well as Dr. Ali, and all the brothers, Kemp, everybody who make impact, because y'all are impactful. Brother, you mold you, all of y'all. It's a powerful thing. And so, like I say, we own less than 1% of the media. even though a lot of you are authors. And thank God for that, because you documented yourself. You sharing your information with others. But and that's great. But collectively, this is a food for thought. Because I know a lot of you on here talking about doing podcasts. I know a lot of you have planned to do some. Some of you are already doing it, because not only do you have great information in your personal businesses and services, but our people need you. They also sit on the board of the National Board Council of Elders. And we're going to start this thing called PASSES on a national level. Because, like my grandchildren, for instance, there's a lot of youth organizations here in Baltimore. But my grandchildren, because of their mother, the way they work and everything like that, you know, she don't have an opportunity to get to there, because they have to go here. Just, you know, these places all over the city, you know. But and that's just my grandchildren. The majority of the children do not get involved with these type of organizations that have rites of passages to teach them how to, who they are, with who they really are, where they really come from, and what they're capable of doing. And so we decided that we're going to start this rites of passage for young boys and young ladies. And we want to get advice from those who are already doing rites of passage and put a curriculum together like on a national level, and then have this thing like on a Zoom call so that every child can have access to it. Every child can participate from their own homes. And at least that's one step in the right direction. But I just want y'all to consider this thing what we call collaboration. Because just what I heard tonight, the questions as well as the answers, so many people would have benefited. Old, young, and brand new people would appreciate the questions as well as the answers. And because we need to have, like some of all of us already said, we need to have these type of conversations with one another. And we need to have not only talk about, we need to have solutions to it, in which y'all all brought to the table tonight. And so it is good that y'all talk to one another, collaborate one another, do what you have to do. We have Vernon on here. We had Dr. Jenkins on here doing positive. Of course, you had me. I do them as well. Your Moses Gray doing one. Cheryl Bricks is planning on doing one. And so, you know, we need to collaborate with one another, support one another. And this thing we call communication, that's what we was having tonight, communicating with one another. But we can take this out into the world and communicate with them, because our people need to hear from us. You know, it's some serious stuff taking place today, but thank God that people, God raised up a remnant of people like yourselves who have been there and done that and solution-oriented. Y'all haven't given up and haven't given in. And I'm so appreciative that before we shut this thing down, there's several people we haven't heard from. If you'd like to share anything tonight before we shut it down, because your words are powerful. Words do not come back void. They're going to land somewhere on somebody. So before we shut it down, this is the opportunity. We control this time, and I don't want to hold you long, but, you know, a word to the wise is this, that each one of us share with one another. We all grow from this, not only to each other, but we can take the information that I learned from each one of you and take it out into the world and share it with somebody else. See, I don't know it all, but collectively, you know this, that person knows that, and collectively, we know a lot. And we can share that. So, again, before we shut it down, ladies and gentlemen, this is your opportunity. Anybody?
Good evening.
Hey, Vern, how you doing, sir?
All right. So much was said this evening. I'm just overwhelmed, you know, with the information that was given. Some stuff really hit me. And, you know, I'm glad I chimed in tonight. Like I said, some of the information that I took in, I'm going to, you know, use it to try to evaluate some things, you know, that happened in my past and happened in my life. So I just, you know, thank everyone for their input tonight.
All right, man. I appreciate you, sir. Really do. And anybody else? All right. And so a lot of things is about to happen, but I'm kind of engrossed in putting this publication together. And so it will be out hopefully in a week or so. And but in any case, you know, we are moving forward. And most of y'all have gotten my little video I sent out to you all. And I mean every word of it. It's not too late. And we can build a thing together. The paper is growing, and it will continue to grow. And we're going to be reaching a massive amount of people. And I just want to remind you of this. You know, when it comes to marketing and advertisement, again, I'm going to tell you this again. You know, you have to be consistent. You can go to Harvard, Yale, any one of them schools, and they would tell you themselves that, you know, usually it takes 7 exposures before anybody buy your product, goods, or service. But, you know, one thing is consistent. When people are consistent and you stay consistent, you stay in the trenches, you stand up for what you believe in no matter what the cost. But if you believe in something, it will come true, but you have to pay your dues. You know, you have to stay, keep your name out there. And we at the National Black Unity News, we have an effective but affordable way for you to do that. But see, it's not about money. It's about the mission. See, this thing is bigger than all of us. That's why I keep hopping on this mission that we on. Because like I say, people all over the world, people right in your own backyard are hurting. They need this type of information that you put out there. Your words. And like I say, words do not come back void. And so again, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you for sharing with us this evening. And those who are on Facebook Live, as well as those on Blog Talk Radio, those who participated on the Zoom call, man, I have much love and respect for each and every one of you. And we will be on tomorrow night. And Kathleen, you want to share a little bit about what's going to take place tomorrow?
Thank you, David. Tomorrow night will end the month of March as far as the Tuesday night call goes, where we will, but we have been celebrating, honoring the Women's History Month. And so what we thought we would do tomorrow night is go ahead and have a celebration of the women who have served in the armed forces or who may be still serving in the armed services. So we have sent out calling all veterans to the call, those who would like to come on and provide comments. I don't know who the veterans are, so I'm just putting that out. And if we don't have anyone to take the stand, I have a set of things that we will talk about, and we will finish our month of celebrating Women's History Month talking about our women vets. So that's tomorrow night, 7:30.
Right.
And the link will be sent out shortly.
Yeah, so I have the link already, and it will be sent out tonight on Thursday. Well, you know me, it probably come to you 3 o'clock in the morning, but I'll send you some reminders too, though.
That's
the time I'll be up. And like
David,
said,
if you know of any veteran, I think there was one lady that said that she had been in the military on one of our calls the last couple of weeks, but I did not get her name. If you remember any of the ladies that have come on and that have indicated that they had, I tried to reach Fran Allen, but I cannot get her. So,
okay. Yeah, well, I would, you know, like I said, I would send it out to as many people as I possibly can. So, you know, so I take care of that, though. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, bid you all a pleasant good night and hope to see you tomorrow night. And you take care. God bless.
Thank you.
God bless y'all too. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. God bless.
Goodbye.
I'm supposed to have enemies, but I guarantee that everybody in here has an enemy. Matter of fact, raise your hand if you got an enemy right now. The entire congregation raised their hand, except this little old lady. He said, "Miss Jenkins, you mean to tell me you don't have an enemy?" She said, "No, I don't." He said, "You don't have one enemy in this entire world." He said, "No, sir, I don't." He said, "Well, come on up front and tell everybody how you managed to not have one enemy in this world." She walked up front, took her a little minute because she was old. She grabbed a microphone. She said, "Well, it's simple. I just outlived the bitches." So this preacher was preaching on this nice, beautiful Sunday morning. And he said to the congregation, he said, "Let's just be honest. We're not supposed to have enemies, but I guarantee that everybody..." has the enemy. Matter of fact,
you send me out here. Basically die. Exile. Like, hey, Napoleon, we got this great island for you. It's called Elba. Nice view. By the way, you're going to die. Guess what? We're earning. That's what you're supposed to do. The point is, we're fucking done. So I want you to pack your shit, get on a fucking plane, and stay the fuck out of my town. And you. You're staying here. You really want to keep working for this asshole? Look at him. Fucking Kojak. You got 3 seconds to make up your mind. Smart. You fucking piece of shit. And I should drop all of you. Right here. Right.
Oh, man.
Too late that girl dies after giving her locket to Peter, he becomes furious about this. Now he kills him with the gun of the leader's companion and then his other companion. When his dogs were barking at him, he kills one of them. He was a little free. He runs a lot from here, even the morning appears while running. He reaches a place where there were a lot of people who were dead. There was a war going on. Peter was watching the explosions from a distance, but the leader had also come while following him and catches him and was about to kill him. He points a gun at him and says, "I am your God," but suddenly a bullet hits the leader and he dies. After his death, Peter says, "No, you are not our God." Then some soldiers come there. They had fired at the leader. Before Peter tells them something about that leader, he becomes unconscious. After a while, when he comes to his senses and finds himself in a medical camp and there were other slaves like him, a nurse comes to him and says that he should rest now. After which, Peter goes to a man and tells him everything about himself, about his family, and about the fact that he was a slave and the leader who used to oppress him. Actually, a war was being fought here to free the Abyssinian slaves, and that's why those soldiers have saved him too. That man tells Peter that you are free and can go, but before that, you will have to free other slaves like him, after which you can go back to your home. Peter doesn't like this, but still he agrees. When he comes out, he sees another slave working with him who ran away with him. He is very happy to see him, and then two guards come to him along with the nurse. She says, "We want to tell the world with your picture what atrocities are done with slaves." They make a picture of him and show it to everyone, and then he is also made a part of his team. As a soldier, he had to plan his future, how to free other slaves. An officer asked, "Did they have any bombs? Because if their enemies have heavy weapons, then they will be in danger." The officer asks, "Peter, can you fight? Will you support us in this war?" Peter now tells him his story and tells that, "I was sold and have suffered a lot, but now I am free and can fight. I will never give up." The officer becomes happy to hear this. The next day, the officer takes his soldiers and moves on and tells everyone that we have to fight with all our strength. When they move forward, they were being attacked by bombs which bring the soldiers in trouble. In a blast, Peter also falls far away. A bullet also hits the officer. Then Peter gets up and when he kills his enemy and moves a little further, he sees that the officer was dead and feels sad to see this. His fighting spirit had now increased even more. That's why he takes his companions and moves toward the enemy. And without fear, he reaches the base of the enemy and attacks. Peter and his companions had won this war. This place was completely destroyed. After a few days, Peter goes to his village with the rest of the soldiers. They all go and catch those people who used to keep the Abyssinians as their slaves there. And everyone is told that all of you are now free. You can legally live with freedom. Everyone becomes happy to hear this and meets their family. When Peter goes to his house, he does not meet his wife and children at home. That's why he suddenly sees his family from the outside. They were also looking for him. When Peter meets his family, actually, he was now free. At the end of the movie, we are told that Peter's picture had become the face of the oppression on slaves all over the world, after which Abraham Lincoln had freed many Abyssinian slaves. Peter's courage and his passion made him meet his family. If he had given up his courage and lost, he would never have been able to meet his family again. We should always keep trying with courage. At the beginning of the movie, we are told that on January 1st, 1863, Abraham Lincoln had freed all the Abyssinian slaves. At that time, there was a king who had 3,000 slaves. The army wanted to free those slaves, and this story is also about this. So the story begins, and we are told that there were many Abyssinian slaves in a village who worked for the British. They were cutting cotton there. After that, they take the slaves and move. His name was Peter, and this is the main character of our story. He was busy in his worship with his wife and children in his house as if he is praying. And he also cleans his wife's feet. Then two men come there who are asking Peter to go with them. But he clearly refuses to go, and he beats them a lot, but one of them threatens him. "If you don't go with us, your wife will be killed." Peter gets scared to hear this and gets ready to go with them. He sits in the car of the slaves. Peter's family was very sad. Those people were taking him on the way to the jungle. It's been 2 weeks since they left, and after 2 weeks, they reach a place. There were a lot of Abyssinian slaves. Railway lines were being built there. Peter was also looking at the things around him. There were some slaves who were dead, and their corpses were lying there. Peter also moves forward with the new slaves. He was also assigned to make the railway line. There, the British were killing the Abyssinian slaves because they were not working. Now Peter also starts working slowly. He sees that a soldier was beating a man a lot because he was not working. That's when he goes to save him, but another soldier comes and points the gun at him. Now their boss had also come there, who was the leader of all. The man who had pointed the gun at Peter. He takes it away and everyone gets busy working there. A slave who was working with Peter tells him that the leader here is very cruel. He also puts a seal of his own on the faces of the slaves. And he used to take a lot of work from them, that their condition at night was so bad that they could not even walk properly. All those slaves were imprisoned in jail at night. There, Peter asks the imprisoned slaves, "Don't you remember your family?" They say that we have given up the hope of being free. Those people say that we can never be free. We will die here. Their trust in God was gone, but Peter says, no, I have complete faith in my God. He will definitely get us out of here. The next day, Peter gets busy with his work again. The leader had an eye on him. All the slaves were busy working. That's when some soldiers were talking there that Abraham Lincoln has freed all the slaves, and Peter also hears this. There was a guard who was going to kill a slave for not cooking properly. When Peter looks at him, he calls him and after which he was going to kill him. But the leader forbids him to do so and ties Peter up and scares him with his hunting dog that the courage inside Peter should have. All the slaves were watching Peter, but no one could do anything. Anyway, he is left after a while, and when everyone was being fed, Peter talks to all.